And we're going to talk about seasonal basics for believers while you wait. You know, we talked about how this is the Sunday of prophecy of coming. And we look with great expectation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know about you, but I hate to wait for things. Amen. I mean, I do. Patience is not something that I'm exceptionally good at. Just ask my wife. And as a matter of fact, it's probably one of the main areas of my life that God is having to work overtime to help bring me into line with His will and plan for my life. Because I always seem to be wanting to go ahead of Him a little bit. But as I get older, I'm not as fast as I used to be. So I get the tendency to listen to Him a little bit more. You know, Christmas is probably the worst when it comes to waiting, right? I mean, the kids are all fidgety. All of us are fidgety. We're fidgety like a five-year-old at the doctor's office. Someone said that good things come to those who wait. And then you ask yourself, do they really? Do all good things come to those who wait? Sometimes I wonder. I mean, I don't think I'm alone about that when it comes to impatience, right? I mean, there was a guy who was grumbling and complaining in line at the grocery store, and the lady who honked at me and said hello in a rather strange manner. I didn't quite understand what she was doing with her finger, but, you know, I just kind of pulled into the parking lot, and it just seemed to upset her. And, of course, we can't forget those who kind of jump in front of us at the line at the store. You know the ones I'm talking about? The ones who stand there as the clerk has to do the price check because the little scam thing is gone. Or you get in the express aisle and you just got one thing and there's somebody with 10 and they're doing that price comp thing, you know, with the ads from the other stores, and you're just sitting there going, really? Really? You couldn't have just gone to that store and get it there, you know? And so it gets aggravating, you know? And so we get a little frustrated. I'm sure that in some way you're all a lot like me and you just hate to wait. You don't care to stand in line. You don't want to sit in a waiting room someplace, wasting your time, standing around, just hanging out. And I think you'll all agree that we have kindred spirits all over town. I mean, you look around everywhere, you'll see people who are a little impatient, especially this time of the year. Because waiting is something, I don't know about you, that I've just never been good at. But you know what? It's the season for waiting. And it's just exactly what an overscheduled, over-anxious, over-committed soul like me needs to do right now is to sit back and wait upon the Lord. Amen? We all feel that way, don't we? Overworked, we just got too much to do, too many things. And I think waiting is the cure, the antidote to a world that's gone mad in a holiday rush. That's why Advent and this season in the life of our church and the life of our world is so important. Because Advent means waiting. Well, literally, it's like I said before, it means coming. But we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. At Christmas, we're going to wait to celebrate an event that's already happened. It's already happened. The birth of Jesus has already happened. And it's during Advent that we wait for that thing that is still yet to happen. And that's the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many would just love to be alive when that happens? Right? Amen. I mean, that would be the most awesome scene in the entire world. The coming of Jesus Christ. Coming in the clouds with the trumpet sound and coming down and gathering us all up in the clouds. That would just be so awesome. But regardless of which we think of first, whether it's the first coming of Christ or the second, it's still all about waiting. And by now you know how much I hate to wait. But I've discovered something remarkable about waiting. There is so much that God can't do in my life unless I do wait. Have you ever seen that? About the only time God really gets your attention is when He puts you flat on your back. You know, when I sat 9 days in a hospital when they were trying to diagnose my MS, I had a lot of time to spend with the Lord. 9 days. And it was 9 days of the most spiritual reviving experience in my life. But that's another story. But the opposite, there is just so much God will not do in my life unless I wait. So it's important as I think the things I wait for, as important as those things I really want and I'm waiting for, they pale in comparison to the work that God wants to do in my life. That God wants to do in your life while you wait. Amen? And so with that amazing thought in your mind that God wants to do an amazing work in your life, I want you to focus on a passage of scripture this morning that might at first glance seems a little strange for this time of year. You know, he's like, Thessalonians, really? But I want to assure you that it has everything to do with what we're going to go through as we approach Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ. You have it in your outline there in your bulletin. And if you don't have it in your bulletin, take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 24. Because this is good counsel. This is good advice for everybody who waits. For the Thessalonian Christians who were waiting. They were waiting for the Lord to return. And they just knew that he would come back very soon. But there was a problem. Some of the members of the church were dying. And those who remained were surprised and they were upset that Jesus hadn't come back yet. Had they misunderstood? Did we not get it? Did we not understand the Lord's promise to return? Was it all just wishful thinking? Was he ever really going to come back? So here the Apostle Paul is writing to assure them that Christ is indeed raised from the dead and that he's coming again. And that all those who were still alive would join them in Christ's presence. The things that Paul says in this passage, they are intended to strengthen and encourage people, like you and me, people who are waiting on Jesus. So join me as we begin here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." That's a whole lot of stuff, isn't it? That's a lot of promises. This morning, we talked about the candle of promise. There is a whole lot that Paul seems to be requiring of us, but before we get overwhelmed by the size of it all, and before you just kind of hit the switch and turn it off this morning, you know, and say, you know, I just want to crumple up like a little ball of Christmas wrapping paper and give it to you in a size you can handle. That's what I want to do this morning. That's I want to kind of take those verses and scrunch it down to where you can handle it. So here it is. You ready? You're saying, I've been ready. Get to it. Waiting on Jesus can have an amazing effect on our life. And as you see in your bulletin, the first point is waiting for Jesus can help us experience what? The transforming purposes of God. Let me read that again. Waiting for Jesus can help us to experience what? The transforming purposes of God. I can remember there was a winter day one time when I was about 7 years old, and my grandmother was taking me and my cousin Stephen to the grocery store. And the shopping was done, and the brown paper sacks, that's back when you had brown paper, we all remember that, right? And the brown paper sacks are in the car, and we're kind of headed home. And on the way, Grandma has to stop off at another store for a few minutes. And so my cousin and I, we want to stay in the car because we didn't want to go in the store again. Man, you know what I'm talking about. And Grandma took more time than she thought she was, and so what was about to happen, you know, I can honestly say it was all her fault for leaving us in there for so long, a couple of seven-year-olds. But we had two giant boxes of soap, right? Because Grandma bought everything in bulk, so she's got these two huge giant boxes of soap. And I discovered that you could pop the ashtrays out of the doors in the back seat, and when you looked down in there, there was this big black hole. How many of you ever done that, right? You've been in the car, you pull the ashtray out. Well, we thought it would be great to pour the soap into the holes and see how much it would take to fill it up. So we did that. We popped those ashtrays out and we broke open the soap boxes and down it goes. And before we knew it, the boxes were empty and we had a nice little coffee pot and a nice little salad dish. You ladies remember back in the day when they put little gifts in the soap? Well, that's what it was. It was a cup and a salad dish. And all of a sudden, it kind of dawned on us what we had just actually done. And I know that we hadn't been together long, but trust me on this, there's no way to make a soapbox look and feel like it's full once you've opened it. And you got all the stuff in the ashtray hole. But remember, it's all Grandma's fault, right? She left us in the car. She should have known better. You can get a whole lot of trouble while you wait sometimes, especially if there's no purpose for your waiting. But Paul pointed out three things that will give purpose for our waiting on Jesus. Because he's basically saying what? He says, be joyful always. That's a tall order. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful, be prayerful, be thankful. I mean, it sounds like a good strategy for Christmas. I don't know about you. But first he says, be joyful. Some versions say to rejoice, always. I mean, man, who does he think I am? With all the hassles and troubles and disappointments in life, how could he possibly expect me to be joyful all the time? If it's the kind of joy the world tries to work up, it's not going to work. This joy that he's talking about isn't something that you can turn on and off like a faucet. This is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord that is our strength. It's something that happens when you recognize that the hand of God is in whatever is happening, and you realize that in any and all circumstances, he is going to work on your behalf. Because he made a promise that he can work all things to good for those who love him. Amen? And this is a joy. This is a joy that comes from knowing that God is in control of everything in life. And that he is going to indeed do exactly what Paul assured these Christians in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, he says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, the key to joy is found in the words of that old familiar Christmas song that we just sang. Joy to the world, what? The Lord has come. It is only by his coming into your life that you can experience the kind of lasting joy that Paul is talking about here. You have to have the Lord in your heart. And then he says, be prayerful. Pray continually, without ceasing. And this is a way to draw on that inner strength that God provides for us. And Paul isn't telling us that we shouldn't always be, he isn't telling us that we should always be on our knees with our heads bowed and our hands folded, because there are certainly times that we need to do that. There are times when we need to get down on our face and pray if the situation is that bad. But you should have a spirit or an attitude of prayer wherever you go. I can remember when I was a police officer and I'd be driving down the street and I'd be praying to the Lord. I'd just be kind of talking out loud. And I'd pull up to a red light, and I'd be sitting there just talking to God, and I'd look over at the person, and they're staring at me, talking. So I'd reach down and pick up the microphone and act like I'm talking to somebody and put it back down and drive off. They must have said, he's lost his mind. He's in there talking to himself. But no, it was a spirit of prayer, and he wants us to have a spirit of prayer because we have God's ear when we do that. A Christian turn to God any time in the day. Not just when we go to sleep or not just when we have our meals, but any time of the day, you have God's ear. And a Christian can turn to him and you have that communication. But you know, most of us know how frustrating it can be sometimes waiting to see Santa, right? We're waiting to see Santa and we want to tell him all we want for Christmas. But you know what? When it comes to talking to God to tell him the things that we need and we want, there's no waiting. There is no press one to talk to the Holy Spirit, press two to talk to, you know, we get to go straight to the Father. You lose your job? How can you be thankful for that? Or they diagnose you with cancer, and you're telling me I'm supposed to be thankful for that? No, no way. But a close relationship is crumbling right before my eyes. Lord, I just don't know why it's doing that, and you're telling me I'm supposed to be thankful for that too? Yeah, right. You know, how do you expect me to be thankful for all these horrible things? Why should we? But as Paul says, we need to be thankful in all circumstances, and I'm going to give you one good reason. When a Christian is faced with a difficult situation, he or she is being given a chance to glorify God. Isn't that the very last verse of the song we sang? Glory to the Lord. How will anyone ever know that you have a reliable source of strength in your life? How is anybody ever going to discover that God is who you say he is in your life? Anybody can praise God when things are going good. When you're sitting in that doctor's office waiting to hear if they're going to tell you you got cancer or not, and you're still praising God, that's a whole lot more. Verse 18 says, "For this is of God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful, be prayerful, be thankful." This is what God wants for you. It's His will. It's His desire. It's His purpose. What? In Christ Jesus. And so it suddenly dawned on me as I was getting ready for this morning that what Paul's saying here is he is the way to keep things in a proper perspective this Christmas season. While you wait, be joyful. Be prayerful. Be thankful and allow God to work in your life as you wait. But there's another amazing thing that you could do. It's number two. Waiting for Jesus can help us to remain in the holy presence of God. Sometimes the only thing you can do is stand in the presence of God and allow His strength to be your strength. And as you look there at verses 19 through 22, he says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to good. Avoid every kind of evil." And I know that all sounds very complicated, but actually there's only two things here. He says, first, don't ignore the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And second, don't despise the wisdom of Scripture. There are too many people today who look at the Bible and just scoff. It's just a bunch of words written by men. But you, as a Christian, have to believe with all your heart that this is God's Word, divinely inspired, put in place for all mankind, for all time. The Spirit is prompting us to come together in two areas. To stop doing what's wrong and to start doing what's right. I mean, if you're a Christian, you should be familiar with that inner feeling when God's saying He wants you to do something. Or God wants you to stop doing something. You know, in movies, we see it typically, illustrated by a little angel on one side and a little devil on the other. And I don't think that's too far off. Have you ever felt pulled that way? You know, you got one friend telling you, yeah, do this. And the other friend's going, no, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Paul tells you that God is giving us those feelings for a reason. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, you need to do it. And if you don't, he says you're going to put out the Spirit's fire. And when you put out the fire, the prompting isn't going to be as strong the next time. You're going to become numb to it. And next thing you know, you're not going to know what God wants you to do anymore. But it's a very comforting feeling for me when I know that God is up close and personal with me. That God isn't something far away. You know, we picture God being in the clouds. But you know, His Holy Spirit lives within us. He's that close. He's right here, right now. And guess what? He's right here speaking to you. Very softly in this room about something maybe going on in your life. He's saying to you that you may have never given your heart to a son. And that if you were to die today, you would be eternally separated from him because you've never made that decision. And that's what he might be talking to you about. That might be his prompting for you this morning. And we're going to give an invitation later. And I would urge you to act on that leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then he says what? Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Because when the word of God is proclaimed, the mind of God is revealed, and we need to pay attention. He says, test all things. In other words, just don't swallow it all, hook, line, and sinker. Be discerning. You know, when you leave here, you need to study these scriptures yourself, because the same Holy Spirit that put the words in my heart to share with you this morning is the same Holy Spirit that will speak to you. We talked about this on Wednesday night. And that if I ever say anything that is contrary to Scripture, then a little red flag should go up to you by the Holy Spirit, and you should get a hold of me later and say, I need to talk to you about something. You know, try not to do it in the service, though. You know, it's like, ooh, 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 hey, wait a minute. You know, get me off to the side and talk to me. He says, be careful, test it. Make sure it's God's truth before you just swallow it. Because that's what leads to things like Jim Jones and the situation in Guyana where people just all committed suicide because he said so. Don't ever get caught in that. So how do you test it? The main way to see if what someone is telling you is from God is to be sure that it lines up with the Scriptures. God will never say anything that is contrary to what's in this book. because it's through the Word of God that God may be speaking directly to you. And when God speaks directly to you, your life is never going to be the same again. Remember Moses, little incident with a burning bush? And God spoke to him. His life was never the same, was it? While you wait on Jesus this Christmas season, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is within you, and don't ignore the wisdom of the Scripture. Remain in the presence of God. And the final one here is waiting for Jesus can help us rest in the keeping power of God. Anybody tired? Anybody feeling a little stressed? Verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, look at what he's praying for us. First, he prays that God is going to sanctify us what? Completely. And the word sanctified literally means to make you holy. And the great thing about that is that it is a gift that God gives us. It's something that is being done for us. It's being given to us. And we place our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we pass from death into life. Amen? Colossians 2:13 says, "When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave us all of our sins." Now I want you to notice something there. We didn't do it, did we? God did it. God did it. Paul goes on and he says, "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, this isn't something that just happened in the past. It's an ongoing process in our lives. God is continually working on you. He's working on you. He's working on me. And he's working and trying to make us into what he desires us to be. And that's only going to happen if we allow him to do it. People say, "Well, how can you be in the world and how can you have the Holy Spirit but not be filled with the Holy Spirit?" You know, you're telling us that as we accept Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. But then you say, be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to give you an illustration that I give at children's camp. You get a bucket of water. The water is the Holy Spirit. You take your hand and you make it into a fist. And you put it in the bucket of water. I am now in the Spirit, right? But the only way I can be filled with the Spirit is if I open my hand. That's being filled. We have to let him in. The problem is we like to do this. We like to take it back. We got to be there and totally surrender to God. There's no doubt in Paul's mind that God is going to keep us and continue to work on us. He says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, do you catch what Paul's saying? Maybe you will when you hear what Jesus says here about those who put their faith in him. Now, this is Jesus speaking in John 10:27. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." You see, there's no need to fret and fuss about all that. Because if God holds you in his hand, you're safe. Not just for now, but for all eternity. So we need to rest in the keeping power of our God. Amen. So before we go, I want to take a good look at the wonderful thing Paul says here there in verse 24. Because this is really the bottom line. This is that firm foundation upon which our faith is built. In verse 24, he says, "The one who calls you is what? Faithful. And he will do it." So if you ask me, this is the Christmas message, isn't it? This is really what we need to understand. This is the gospel in three easy steps. God is the one who calls us. He is the one who is faithful, and he will do it. God is the one who calls us. He is faithful, and he will do it. Amen? If all there is what's here and now, if this is all it is, if this is all I'll ever be is who I am today, then I can't afford to wait, can I? I better get busy. And I better grab everything that I can get my hands on, because this is it. But if there is an eternity, and I believe there is, waiting isn't just the best thing to do, it's the only thing we can do. And so we need to watch and see where the Lord is at work. We need to listen and try to understand what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And then we need to do something about it while we wait. Or we wait and then we do something about it. There is so much that God can't do in our lives unless we wait. And there is so much that God will not do in our lives until we wait. Just remember that. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and there are so many of us here with different things going on in our life. Different ones of us have different decisions to make. Some of us need to recommit our lives to you. We've already asked you to be part of our life, but maybe we're just not walking that Christian walk we should. And we need to come and pray a prayer of rededication. Maybe we're here today by divine appointment because we have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life. And they're here to accept that invitation this morning, that as we sing, they'll come and they'll pray to receive Christ for the very first time. Maybe it's someone looking for a church home and they need to come forward and ask to become members of Lucky Baptist Church. Maybe it's following the Lord's command in baptism. Lord, whatever it might be, we pray that you would give them strength and courage to do the things and to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen.